Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I had a chance to interview Valerie Jarrett this morning on The Jam. It was a great interview, but I'm still more excited to talk to Fred Weintraub. Fred, you're joining us from Singapore to talk about London. We do whatever we can here to make it work on WGN.
John, it's already Thursday morning here in Singapore, but happy Wednesday afternoon to you, sir.
I appreciate that. Fred, you traveled the globe, of course, and one of the places that you call home is London, and obviously it's been a huge week in London with the president's second visit to the country. In terms of setting up this visit, did you think there was a little less hype going into this one than the previous one since he had done it before, or do you think that the circumstances around Brexit made this equally as compelling for all of us around the world?
Well, as you know, John, the first visit was more of just kind of a business trip over and was not an official state visit. What's kind of unusual is that there would be a second visit so quickly, but there's so many parts of a moving puzzle, including the fact that from the UK's standpoint, Brexit is falling apart depending on which side you're on. The Queen met with Trump last time in 2018, unofficially at Windsor Castle. That did not go overly well, not because they had a poor conversation, but because President Trump didn't, by all appearances, follow protocol. So when you see them, when you saw them at Windsor Castle a year ago, you saw that he walked in front of the Queen.
Yes.
And the Queen's not very tall, and so you usually don't do those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then Theresa May, who is now the outgoing Prime Minister of the UK, she invited him for an official state visit, of which the Queen is the person that first meets with whoever is coming to the UK on an official level. So he has spent the last 3 days getting all the pomp and circumstance that you can imagine, just like any state official would throughout the world. So it's not a surprise that this is happening. It's a little bit of a surprise that it's happened so closely. But the big question is, did it go well? Did it not go well? Were there any major faux pas? And as you know, and as everybody knows, if you listen to the radio or have been watching the wall-to-wall television coverage, and Americans are, anytime the royals are involved, whether it's a royal wedding or whether there is some real news to be made, they're glued to their television.
Oh, yeah.
So they literally saw, so they saw 3 days worth of, first day was total pomp and circumstance, second day was politics, today was about D-Day, and if you look from a journalistic standpoint, it's all about a big photo op for the President of the United States, of which he brought his entire family to, and the Queen did what the Queen does better than anyone else in the world. When a government is falling apart, including her government, she knows what she needs to do and what her royal family needs to do to keep the glue together. And they did that for the first, so they did that for the 3 days that the president was in the UK.
Yeah.
And now he's in Ireland.
I wonder, you know, it's interesting you mentioned about whether, you know, is this the worst time that for Britain to have a visit? Or counter, could this be something that, like you said, holds the glue together for just a little bit? Certainly, it's got to be one of the more awkward times for a state visit, especially with your quote-unquote closest ally.
I think it is. You know, it's got to be an awkward time because Theresa May is on her way out, so obviously she's a lame duck.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're the Queen, I don't think you look at it as Donald, whether you're a fan of Donald Trump, not a fan of Donald Trump, you don't look at it that way when you're the Queen. You look at it as just as she represents Britain and the other realms that she is responsible for, she is paying her respects not to a human being, i.e. this particular president, but to the government of the United States of America. And that's probably why it worked out as well as as it did
in
front of the cameras.
I got to ask, Fred, yeah, and let's talk about behind the cameras, the discussions that can be had. When you have a prime minister that's on their way out, is it a matter that departmental officials are meeting with their counterparts on the same level across the pond in terms of getting things done? Because the president, he's not going to negotiate much with Theresa May. He knows she's on the way out. Are there talks of them negotiating with people underneath or people that could potentially be the next prime minister? How hard is that to navigate for someone not knowing who the next leader of the country is going to be and the fact that that change is going to happen sooner rather than later?
Well, I think when you're Donald Trump, you are narrowly focused on what you perceive that you want to have happen. So he said publicly that he's all about trade negotiations. Now, the reality is there can't be any trade negotiations right now because we don't know what side of the, where Brexit is going to ultimately fall. We don't know who the next prime minister is. So nothing consequential probably got done during the state visit.
Yeah, we got to talk about today. I think the D-Day visit. If there's one thing that can unify world leaders and unify us all, it's paying tribute to the troops from many countries who landed on the beaches of Normandy on June 6, 1944. So many years ago, I can't do the math. This is 75. Yeah, it's the 75th anniversary
years.
Tomorrow. Yeah,
and especially when you have a queen who's 93 years old. So that is her generation. So
yeah.
If you had an opportunity to see any of the B-roll this morning on the jam of the ceremony that was taking place, you had 10 representatives that were all 90-plus years old that walked out, that fought in Normandy. And if anyone can relate to what they went through, it's the queen, because she is of their generation. And if there's anything that Brits like better, it's paying respect to past wars where Britain has been successful, where they can show pride. And really, 15 world leaders came out from, Merkel in Germany to the president of France. To all pay homage. So it turned out to be, whether it was planned this way or not planned this way, it turned out to be pretty heartfelt, and the Queen led the entire event.
Fred Weintraub is the WCIU Royal Correspondent for the Jam. Also pinch hits with Hannah Staley here on WGNAM. Hey, Fred, we talk about the protests and Donald Trump saying that most of it was fake news. He saw some little protests, but the rest of it was fake news. I don't know if you've seen any context in terms of how many people were out there, whether it compares to the first visit or not. But certainly from my eyes and B-roll, there certainly were some pretty massive protests.
Yeah, there were protests. And the definition of fake news is, I'm not sure what Donald Trump's definition of fake news is.
News he doesn't like.
Clearly, if you look at it from a journalistic standpoint, there were protests. Now, when Donald Trump says he didn't see any, he probably saw some out of the corner of his eye, but they are so strategic. And this is true when any president comes to London, that they close off the roads to a point where the presidential motorcade is only going to pass through particular intersections that are closed off. So he probably didn't see a lot, but there were big protests in near Parliament. Now, were they massive protests with a million people? No, I don't think so. But when you see the balloon up in the air, that is a representation of Trump as a baby, and you see people being interviewed that say that they don't like the fact as Brits that they're using taxpayer money to roll out the red carpet for a president that they don't respect, they're entitled to their opinion.
Yep.
And so, yes, the answer to your question is there were protests. Did they stop action in the middle of the street? Did the president's motorcade get stopped anywhere along the way? It's no different with any president, at least that I've seen. And I've only seen Clinton, Obama, and I haven't actually been in London when Trump's been there.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep you and the journalists and the people so far away that you know, you're not going to see very much, which is so different than how they treat their own queen. Because I can tell you, as a journalist and as someone who's just interested in royal history, in the years that I've lived part-time in London, if you're strategic, you can get pretty close up to the queen. Not close up like you can say hello to her, but you're not blocks away. You're literally, you can get, if you have a good camera, you can get great shots of the royal family. So they operate in a totally different, in a different scenario.
The president, I think that we haven't seen too many, I hate to call them blunders or whatever they were. There was the awkward fist bump, but, you know, that the whole, that all that courtesy is tough. And I have awkward handshakes and fist bumps with everyone every single day. Not going to blame him on that. People are making a big ruckus about the fact that he brought his adult sons that aren't a part of the administrations to a state thing. That doesn't bother me really at all in the slightest. I guess you could say if you had to rate the president on his visit, just from reports, what would you give it, a grade, or what sort of rating would you give it if we had to rate these things?
I mean, if I were rating it on a photo op, how he appeared, how his manners were with the queen, you know, I would give him an A minus. If you're weighing him on concrete things that he helped resolve, like climate control and economic issues, I don't think any of that got done. But in fairness to this president, who clearly likes to communicate personally with his feelings, he went on Piers Morgan's show, and when Piers kind of pressed him as to what did you and the Queen talk about, he was very good about saying, you know what, I promise to keep those conversations confidential, and I'm going to keep them confidential. Now, where he had blunders were before he even got on the plane to go to London, he was already saying nasty things about Meghan Markle, which didn't come across very well.
Right.
And there's no love lost between the mayor of London and Donald Trump, so they got in it via sound bites and Twitter. Was that overly helpful? Probably not. But the minute his plane touched down, the minute he got in Marine One, the minute Marine One got to the back of Buckingham Palace, he did exactly what he needed to do. And the few times when he was veering in the wrong direction, his wife veered him back in the right direction, because they were in Buckingham Palace, and I think I read somewhere that the Queen asked him about a particular gift, which he, i.e. the United States, gave to the Queen. He didn't remember that, but his wife did, and she piped right in and said, no, this was a gift from us.
Oh, well, that's
so
good.
All in all, from a photo op standpoint, probably from what President Trump wanted to achieve, which was to come across as respectful to, you know, to the most photographed, probably the most respected queen in the world, he did all those things. Did he accomplish anything long term? No. Did he put his foot in his mouth when he talked about, you know, we'll have a trade deal and everything's on the table, including national health care in the UK? Well, national health care in the UK is not on the deal, and
right,
not going to be part of a trade agreement, because it can't be, because you can't negotiate for another country.
Right.
And he backstepped on that, and that's the way this president appears to work in many instances.
So where we are with Brexit, man, it was hard to keep track of all the deals and how many deadlines there were and the different proposals that were all shot down by Theresa May's the Parliament. Where are we at now? I mean, are they in risk of, being either kicked out of the EU without an agreement? Or are they going to, is anyone considering calling a second referendum just to negate this whole thing? Is Brexit even popular anymore? Like, where are we at with Brexit moving forward?
So my Geiger counter, the way I really tell what's going on is, the first thing I do when I get back into London is I take a cab somewhere and I start talking to the cab drivers, because they, particularly in London, they love to talk and they all have an opinion. Now, the opinion right now is that they're so sick of that, no matter whether you're a Brexiteer, whether you're pro, whether you're con, you know, this whole process started in 2016, and they're still not anywhere. So cab drivers will tell you, we just want to move this thing along in some direction.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, Theresa May got into office. She thought she could bring it through. Three times she tried to push something through Parliament. It didn't work. She got an extension for Brexit. Now officially they have until, I believe, October 31st to come up with some type of deal to either get out of, you know, to try to get out of the EU in a way that will be good for Britain.
Is there a call for another amendment, or is there worry that the precedent that that would send for future amendments and legislation from that the people want? I mean, you can't just go back on everything you do. I mean,
yeah. If the question is, could they go back and just vote again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably could do. They probably could do that. But a new prime minister who's got to pretty much be in by the end of the summer knows that in order to keep the UK from falling apart or being so unstable as it is from an economic standpoint, that they've got to do something. So, you know, no one really knows what the answer is, because right now they're fighting over who's going to be the prime minister, and they'll narrow that down from probably 16 candidates down to two. Then there'll be a vote, and then they'll figure out which way they're going to go. But considering that they haven't been able to figure it out over a 3-year period of time, it's going to be a tough thing to do. And I would say that as you look and evaluate economic turmoil around the world in sophisticated countries, this is as messy as it gets. And stay tuned for the soap opera, because it's going to get a lot more interesting, and it doesn't help their economy.
Well, you're going to be the one to break it all down for us. You can follow Fred, obviously, on WCIU, the Jam. He's our royal correspondent. Also, Pinch Hits with Hannah Stanley here on WGN, and you can get Fred at GabbyRoad.com. Fred, happy Thursday. Get to bed.
I will do so. John, nice talking to you as always.
You as well. I really appreciate it. Fred Weintraub is a stand-up gentleman, a scholar.